Have you ever been really thirsty? I mean really, really, really thirsty. Your mouth parched, your lips dry, your throat scratchy. Unless you've been hiking in the desert or running under the hot sun or lost somewhere, most of us rarely experience this kind of thirst, the soul-searing, scorching need for something, anything wet, something that will cool that awful dryness. And even that likely pales in comparison to how we find Jesus hanging on the cross under the midday sun, parched and dry. The last few hours have been full of pain as Jesus was beaten, forced to carry his own cross, and then nailed upon it with iron stakes and lifted up to die. That excruciating pain has not caused Jesus to cry out. He bears it stoically. Now it's the dryness, the burning, scorching dryness that finally elicits his plea. I am thirsty. And in his suffering, there is still no cool water for Jesus. All he is offered is sour wine, vinegar. The poignancy of this moment cannot be lost on us. Throughout Scripture, woven through our salvation history, water is a potent force. Water is a powerful sign of God's presence and God's power. At the time of creation, God moved over the waters, brought forth life, and called it good. Later, when that goodness had become stained and soiled, God caused the waters to close over the earth in the great flood. And later still, as God's people fled from those who enslaved them in Egypt, God parted the waters of the Red Sea to ensure their escape. And when those same Israelites cried out in the wilderness for water, water flowed from a rock when Moses struck it with his staff at God's direction. Over time, water comes to serve as a stand-in for God's promises and dreams for God's people. The prophet Amos proclaimed, "Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." And the people could feel the hope, envision God's love overturning the forces that oppressed them. And when the people felt estranged from God, felt lost and alone, they used water and its absence to articulate their longings, their desire to be right with God. The psalmist cries out, "My mouth is dry like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth, and you have laid me in the dust of the grave." And as a deer longs for the water brooks, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul is athirst for God, athirst for the living God. And again, O God, you are my God. Eagerly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and barren land where there is no water. Jesus himself experienced the power of God when he emerged from the waters of the Jordan and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. His first miracle was turning vats of water into wine. Jesus sought water from the woman at the well and promised that all who drank from the water he would give them would never thirst. And now, Jesus, hanging on the cross, is himself thirsty. But what is it that Jesus thirsts for? In his humanity, for he was truly human, Jesus certainly longs for something wet to cool his dry, cracked lips, to soothe his pain-racked body just a bit. Perhaps he thirsts for the end of his suffering, for what he knows to be over, to finally be over. Perhaps Jesus thirsts for reunion with his loving Father, the God from whom he had come and to whom he was surely returning. And perhaps Jesus thirsts for something more. Perhaps Jesus thirsts for some sign that his followers are still there, are still with him, even as he leaves them behind. Jesus thirsts, and perhaps Jesus' thirst is more than a bodily need, more than a longing for relief. Perhaps Jesus' thirst is to remind us one more time that we are called to assuage his thirst by alleviating all the thirsts of those around us. In one of his last conversations with his disciples, Jesus reminded them that whenever they welcomed the stranger, whenever they fed the hungry, whenever they gave drink to those who thirsted, they also did it to him. Is it possible for us to hear Jesus' poignant cry from the cross, "I thirst," and still walk by the hungry and the thirsty around us, heedless of their needs? Can Jesus' thirst be a call to pay attention to Christ in the world around us, in the homeless on our streets, in the refugees crowded into detainment camps, in the victims of abuse, in the faces of those who have survived war and famine and poverty? Jesus cried out, "I thirst," and those words carry not only his physical longing, but his spiritual yearnings as well. They beg us to share in his thirst, to feel it, to embrace it, and all that it conveys. As we emerge from the long, dry season of Lent, the time of penitence and reflection, this wilderness time we've traveled through, what is it that we find ourselves thirsting for? Is it the living water we find in Jesus? The sense of love and acceptance and care that we receive from him? Is it the rushing water of righteousness, justice flowing like a mighty stream, so that the yawning needs of the world, of God's beloved, might be assuaged? Is it the soothing waters of God's healing, the waters of renewed life to quench our parched souls? As we come together to remember Jesus' suffering, his death, his thirst upon the cross, and then to celebrate his resurrection, may we find our thirsts, whatever form they take, assuaged in him.